there, and welcome to episode 124 of Let's Talk with Skoggs. This week, we are talking about the project Ride Antigone with its director and writer, Sungjae Kim. So this show is a mixture of some Greek mythology, Sophocles' tragedy, Antigone, mixed with 90s riot girl movement and punk rock and all of the angst that comes with finding yourself, finding your convictions, and finding out what's most important in life to you. So Sungjae and I talk about from the moment this was an idea to when she finally got to see it on stage. Then the pandemic happened, so there was a bit of a pause, a bit of a, you know, we all felt it, what's going to happen next. But the exciting thing is that this hybrid theater musical project is available for streaming for the first time this week. So if you can't catch a performance, you can still learn all of the songs and sing along. We went through the creation of the songs. It's just such an impressive project and feat. I know that Sungjae has a million other things that are floating around that she wants to create. So this was a lovely conversation. If you are a creative that has an idea and you're just not sure how to pull the trigger, let Sungjae inspire you. Because also at the end of the episode, we talk about how to cultivate confidence in yourself as a creator. You have a lot of ideas, but you might be too shy to share them. So she gives some great thoughts on that. So enjoy episode 124 with the creator, director of Ride Antigone, Sungjae Kim. Just full disclosure, I am in Oklahoma City and there's a rainstorm right now with a little bit of thunder, and my dog is very scared. So she is sitting by my feet. So if something startles her, I might react. So I just wanted to put that out there.
No problem at all.
Okay, cool. Where are you calling in from today?
I'm in Brooklyn, New York.
In Brooklyn. How long have you lived in Brooklyn?
I've lived in Brooklyn, I've lived in New York for like 7-8 years now. And Brooklyn for the last couple of years. Yeah.
How did you find New York as a newcomer back 8 years ago?
Oh my god. It was a love and hate, lots of ups and downs, intense. It's hard, but there's also no place else like it.
It's intimidating. I grew up in Rhode Island, so just a little tiny, and I always thought I was going to move to New York after college.
Yeah.
And my mom had an experience living in New York, but that was like in the 70s, so she's like, you know what, let's go visit and just make sure that you can handle it. Yeah. And I was like, I can't.
That's totally understandable.
Yeah, so I went to LA, which different beast. It's overwhelming for different reasons, but I have a lot of respect for people who can just go to New York and make it work. And I applaud you for being there for 8 years and making it your home.
Thank you. Yeah. You're based in LA, but you're in Oklahoma City right now.
So I've been all over the place. I grew up in Rhode Island, went to college in Rhode Island, seen it, done it. It's so small. And then I basically moved to LA. And was there for 10 years.
Yeah.
Hustled and bustled. Mm-hmm. And with COVID and the shutdown of everything, I got married in 2020.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And my husband and I were just like, where do we want to go next to do the next phase of life? And he's from here.
Yeah.
And housing is very affordable. We bought a house. Yeah. Our dog has a yard. But I was just in LA recently. I can visit anytime. I haven't been to New York in a while, so I should probably put that on my list because it is such a magical city. If you can be tough, right? You have to be tough.
Right. Totally. Yeah. You have to be willing to sort of face things and see things. Yeah.
Yes. What did you learn about yourself in those first couple of years in New York?
Oh my God, that's such a good question. I think just it's important to have community for me. Mm-hmm. I think I thrive best when I feel like I'm part of something larger. And And, you know, Ride Antigone has been one of those things for me. Like, it feels like it's bigger than me. It feels like there's other people who are excited about it. It feels like there's a family around it. And the theater industry has been that for me. And currently I'm sort of, I've been doing less theater since the pandemic, for obvious reasons. and I've been trying to kind of like break into the TV film industry. And so I'm hoping that I'll kind of like find that in the TV film industry soon. But I think I learned that, especially in a city like New York, where there's so much going on, which can also like ironically make you feel like a little more alone sometimes. I think it's really important to like find your people, and like find community, ideally around like something you love, right?
Yes.
So yes, I think I would say that's the biggest lesson that I've learned.
And that's a good one for any young person who has aspirations to kind of break out of the norm and what they're used to. Find community, find people that can help you, people that can, if anything, validate that it's a tough experience to like move through the world.
Exactly. Yeah, it is.
It's tough. So Ride Antigone is the project that we're mostly here to discuss, but I'm curious, of course, about before the big project that everybody is known for. There's a lot of work that goes into that moment. So when did you start writing? When did you start to tap into your creativity, so to speak?
Like writing in general, right?
Sort of.
Well, I've always been, ever since I was little, I was always like making up stories. And and then when I gained access to the computer, I was like writing like, you know, weird fiction and like posting it online, or sometimes just for myself. And like, I don't even remember like what those were, but I was always kind of like writing and writing for myself, and like with a little on whenever there was like a little bit of like an online audience, like for those people. And then I wrote a little bit in high school, and then in college I started, I wrote a little bit in high school, not that much, but like I went to a pretty intense like prep school. So schoolwork kind of like took priority. I wish I wrote more in high school. I think that would have been good for my mental health. I think it would have been a good creative outlet. But there was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of sort of like academic pressure to do well in school. So sometimes that like write, like that time, that sort of solitude to write kind of like took a backseat. But what I did do and what I did fall in love with was theater. I really fell in love with theater. And again, it was about community. It was about belonging. It was about like finding your people. And theater, you know, what better way to belong and have a group of people you hang out with than like being in a play, right? And so I started directing too in high school, not just being in plays, but I realized that I really liked being in like that seat. And so in college, that's mostly what I did. I went to Northwestern for theater. I directed Up a Storm. And so the writing was always there, but honestly, I didn't really get like that serious about it until like after graduation. I had the idea for Ride Antigone like in college. I was like, at first I encountered Antigone the play, and I was like, this is a cool play, but like I want to like do my own spin on it. And then so I was like, maybe I'll direct it, but like play some like Riot Girl music. And I was like, oh no, like I think these need to be original songs. So I started writing it, and actually we did like a very different version of it. That was like my last project, like in college, was like a reading. And for people who aren't familiar, like a reading is when, you know, there's no like actors, they don't memorize their lines. Like you're like looking at your script, like you're just kind of like reading out like a script out loud to see if it works, see if you want to change anything. So, it was like a read and like sing through of like this thing. So that was like the last thing I did in college. And then it took a couple years after college, to get to the draft that it is now. But yeah, like I think that's sort of been my like journey as a writer, is like from a little kid who just wanted to make up stories to kind of like first director. And then these days I think I sort of primarily identify as a writer.
So this is another question I love to ask guests, especially when they're talented, is that how did you know that you were a good writer? Was it that you knew you had like conviction that your writing was good, or eventually did somebody who you saw as, I don't know if authority figure is the right word, but somebody that you saw as a good writer told you that you were a good writer? Like, which happened first?
For me, you know, I'm not religious, but I've grown more spiritual as I get older, especially. Mm-hmm. And like, I think my like innermost truest self has always known I'm a good writer. And that's why I did it as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I still do. Like, my innermost higher self, like, still does. Mm-hmm. But it's really freaking hard to get in touch with that self sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's very helpful when other people tell you you're a good writer. And when I was, like, in middle school, teachers started telling me you're a really good writer. So that helped. Yeah. And in high school and college, I, like, sucked at, like, math and science. But, like, English, I was always, like, rocking. So that helped. And then when this show first sort of had an audience, people were very moved and people wrote to me and, they thought it was awesome and it made people feel seen. And that was really, really important to me. And it still is. So that helped. And now I'm trying to like break into a new industry. And so I don't have that kind of a lot of external validation yet. Like, so every little bit I can get, like, it's really, really helpful. It sort of like gives me wings. But so yeah, both, but like I think that you know, like I think for me, my innermost self like really kind of believes in myself and believes my voice is important, but like being in the world and being in these competitive industries like makes it challenging to like just fully believe in that sometimes. So anyone kind of telling you, giving you some positive feedback is like really, really helpful.
Yeah. And the reason I ask is because I was a kid who found self-esteem through sports. I loved to make up stories and I loved comedy as a kid, like making my friends laugh because I had memorized like a Mike Myers SNL skit. That was like the best feeling in the world.
Yes.
But it was easy to measure sports because you either won the game or you lost the game.
Yes.
And I didn't know, I had not tapped into that voice that you have until much later in life. And I love to bring it up with artists because it is such an ambiguous thing of whether you're good or bad, because to somebody it might be the best thing they've ever read or seen or felt because of your art, and it might not connect with somebody else. And it doesn't make it better or worse. It just, art connects with people or it doesn't. So that would have been another huge hurdle for me as a young woman to have like figured out of like, am I good at this? Am I not good at this? Should I pursue this? So it's so lovely to hear that you did have that voice inside of you that was loud enough to keep going.
Yeah. And I fight every day for it to be loud enough. You know, it's not always easy, but it's kind of a necessity if you want to be any kind of creative, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so Raya Antigone, we touched on it a bit, but again, I cannot fathom writing and creating this much of anything. So I apologize if these questions sound really basic, because I can't wrap my head around it. But is there a certain song that came first, or was it more that you had an arc for a character? I know it's based in mythology, but like, how do you even start writing something like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. For this, it came from a marriage of two things I really loved. So that was the play Antigone by Sophocles, which is what the show is based on. And then the 90s riot girl movement. So I'll do a little bit of an intro to both. Antigone is like a classic Greek play. Yeah, so it's based on a myth, but like an ancient playwright like wrote it based on a myth. It's a very popular play, like widely taught in like high school and college, like drama classes, English classes. And it revolves around a young woman whose uncle is like the new leader of a kingdom. Not a kingdom, I guess, because it's like Greece, like democracy. So I forget what the official word, but he's like the new leader of like the city. And then her brothers, like, he took over because, like, her brothers get into, like, a power grab fight and they end up killing each other. So what her uncle does is, like, he says, okay, one brother gets, like, a proper burial and the other brother gets to, like, his body's just going to be, like, left out for, like, birds to eat and, like, decompose because he is, like, the traitor. And in ancient Greece, this was, like, a big no-no because, like, if you don't get a proper burial, then, like, your soul can't, like, rest. So it's, like, it was, like, a big deal that he wouldn't get that. So to Antigone, this is unacceptable. This is not right. And she decides to go against her uncle's edict and just do it. Like, she buries her brother. And for her crime, she's basically sentenced to death, like, to be buried alive. And that's sort of where the play begins. Now, like, the way the play begins is, like, literally the first scene is, like, her talking to her little sister and being like, Ismene, like, let's go. Her sister's name is Ismene. Ismene, let's go bury our brother. And I had a difficult time understanding that. I was like, how does, like, a grieving person, like, your brother just died. Like, how do you go from, like, grief to action? Like, how do you, like, experience grief and then, like, have the strength to, like, turn that into action, to, like, fight for what you believe in? So I had that question. And then 90s Riot Girl came into play. So 90s Riot Girl was, like, a punk rock movement, like, based around the Pacific Northwest, but really sort of, like, nationwide, worldwide, in the mid to late, like, early to mid, 90s. And it was sort of a, like, response to, the grunge movement, but I think just to say it was a response to that would be kind of belittling, but it was around the same time. And bands like Nirvana got a lot of, like, attention from, like, MTV, and Riot Girl was basically, like, a lot of female punk bands who didn't get that much, like, mainstream attention and who were talking about feminism. They were talking about issues like abortion and sexual assault, and mental health, and they were doing it in, like, a really raw, political, emotional way. So I started putting those two things together in my head, like, something about the spirit of this character Antigone, and the spirit of this movement. Like, it felt like a perfect wedding to me. And so I was like, ah, this is a musical. So for this project, it was like a collage. That's sort of how I saw it. It was like a union of, like, two things. Every project has, like, a different origin story, but that's the origin story of this one.
I am not sure how you are joining us today. We might be listening in your car, we might be listening over speakers at home, and we might be listening in earbuds. And I've had a problem with earbuds for the past 3 or 4 years that they always fall out. I especially get nervous when I'm walking my dog and we're outside and I'm right near a sewer drain and I'm so nervous that my earbud is going to fall out because they just don't stay in. I'm walking around, I'm moving, I have a lot of motion in my body when I talk and they always fall out. But Raycon wireless earbuds are the best way to bring audio with you no matter how much you shake things up, because literally no matter how much you shake, you know they will not fall out. Their everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. There's also an awareness mode when you need to listen to your surroundings, like when you're walking your dog. So you can take your Raycons with you wherever you go. With optimized gel tips for the best in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable, they will not budge. Trust me, they will not budge. I have had those other earbuds. They've always fallen out, or I've tried to adjust them, and I end up hanging up on a phone call with my mom. Sorry, Mom. So sorry about that. But these Raycon ones, they stay in. They also last for 8 hours of playtime. That is 32-hour battery life, and they are priced just right. You get that quality audio at half the price than other premium brands. It is no wonder that Raycon's everyday earbuds have over, 48,000 five-star reviews. But here's my favorite part. This is where you come in. Right now, Let's Talk with Scoggs listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Scoggs, S-C-O-G-G-S. That's buyraycon.com/Scoggs to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/Scoggs. And is there, do you have memories of the songs at the early stages, like how that sort of all came about? Because they're all great songs. There's 13 yeah. songs. That's a lot of Absolutely. Music.
It's a lot of music. Yeah. So I'm not real. I don't identify as a musician. I am a lyricist. I'm a playwright. So I wrote all the lyrics, but the way I wrote, I collaborate with a bunch of amazing composers and musicians on writing the music. And the way I wrote, some of it, I wrote the lyrics, and then some of it I literally like sang into my phone, like my the voice demo function, because I had like a melody in mind for like the hook, and I would like sing into it, and then I would bring it to my co-writer, and then we like, you know, she would like jam out on her guitar. And then yeah, so it was kind of that collaborative process, but it would be born with like a little voice memo like on my phone. And apparently Taylor Swift does the same thing, so what I'm saying is I'm basically Taylor Swift.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I do like some of her like deluxe albums. She's like, oh yeah, like I just sit down and like I make a voice memo. I was like, yes girl. Same. Yes.
I hear that I hear that voice memo thing quite a bit, and I do remember, I think it's 1989, she has those little extra tidbits, and it's so fascinating, because you, I mean, you always have your phone by, and that's one of the advantages of technology, and then you can just send it over to your collaborator, and then they can noodle with it. It's amazing.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Do you have, I don't know, I don't want to limit it to just a song. But is there a moment in the play or the show? Because I understand it's like a hybrid theater musical project.
Yes.
But is there any, or I don't want to limit it to just one, but is there any little moment in it that you're, that when it happened, you just felt like you had put the last piece in a puzzle and you're like, I got it. Like, this is the, like that creative, like the aha moment, I guess, as Oprah would say.
Yeah, I can talk about one moment, actually. So we did two kind of premiere productions, and we made like a change before the second production that was like an aha. So I can talk about that briefly.
Yes, please.
So basically, like the Greek chorus in the traditional play is, in our play, is like a punk rock band. So like they sing about Antigone's feelings. And then, like, in our show, at the end of Act One, she buries her brother and she, like, sings for the first time. So she literally and metaphorically has, like, found her voice by doing the right thing. Like, she's also gaining, like, the ability to, like, sing, like, in the show. And so she does that. And then I realized in Act Two, like, she's found her voice, but now she needs to like use it. So, and we didn't really have like a moment of her just like using her voice. So what I did was I wrote a monologue. And this is kind of different. If you listen to the album, when it drops on April 8th, it's a track called Free She. And it's like a spoken word poem, and it's very different from the other songs. It's basically like a spoken word poem that has some like sort of rhythmical backing, but yeah, it's just her talking about women all over the world, and really anyone who's ever felt oppressed or like limited and disempowered, and talking about freedom. And so when I realized like, oh, like she found her voice, but she also has to use it, she has to like explosively just like say what she wants to say, that definitely felt like an aha moment for me.
That's awesome. I love hearing that stuff, because again, I cannot fathom how all of you talented creatives make the stuff you make. It really blows me away. So that's cool to hear that little behind the scenes kind of stuff. My other behind the scenes kind of question is, what is casting like for a project like this?
That's a great question. We've had some different casts and different wonderful people embody these parts over the years. For the initial productions, it was like a mix of like our friends and people I had known around New York, and then we also had some auditions. We had some auditions that were like, we like ad, literally just like ads like posted online, and mm-hmm. from there we got to like know people. It depends on like the size and the scale of the production, but mm-hmm. I find that usually for my project it's like a mix of like old friends that I know from other work, and then like new people that I discover through auditions or casting agents.
Mm-hmm. I know that there's so much that goes into making something. Yeah. Like just the fact that anything gets made is amazing. There's so many names and faces behind the scenes that don't get to take a bow necessarily. So it's cool that, you know, like you said, you've had different casts and everything. And I know that it's going to be back on stage pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So how are you preparing with that? Because it's April 14th, I think.
Yeah. So we're doing an album release concert on April 14th. And then we'll do some scenes, not all, from the show, so people can mm-hmm. get a taste of what the show full musical is. I'm really excited. It's gonna be at Elsewhere, in Brooklyn, which is like a hot venue. I'm really excited. It's like, you know, and hopefully, you know, nothing bad like COVID wise happens. You know, the whole album release timeline got pushed back a lot because of COVID, and so I'm really grateful for modern medicine and safety protocols that like allow us to play live music again and to like mm-hmm. be in person together again. And I'm really excited to kind of like harness the power of live music and community and like tell this story like one more time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you have aspirations to do another musical themed something? Or I know you mentioned television and film is really there, but if something tickled you and you had an idea, would you do this again?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I have a couple ideas. Like one that I've always wanted to tackle is, so if anyone listening wants to collaborate, like let me know. But I'm really obsessed with the movie star Anna May Wong, who was the first like Asian American movie star, and who faced discrimination in Hollywood because she's Asian, and but that had a really amazing film career nonetheless and really fought for representation. And I actually can't believe there isn't like a biopic or like already like about her. And I feel like a musical, you know, and like my musical really gives this Antigone character like a voice, and like mm-hmm. she's like a figure who I feel like could be so multidimensional in like a theatrical context, and like to have her own voice and to someone who faced so much discrimination and was a pioneer, like to get the chance to tell her own story like through song. Mm-hmm. So that's one idea for a musical that I have. Yeah.
What do you think the hardest part is for you as, I guess, the creator of a project? Is it making sure that you've got all of your ideas checked when you're done? Like, make sure I had all these amazing ideas, make sure they're all incorporated. Is it kind of blocking time to actually focus and work on it? Because it, like I've said this whole time, it just seems like such a massive undertaking. And we talked about the aha, so mm-hmm. that we had the rose. Mm-hmm. And I always like to make sure everybody knows that's not always rainbows and sunshines. There's hard stuff mm-hmm. we have to go through. So what was like the thorn?
For Write Antigone, the thorn was definitely, you know, as the project got bigger and more people collaborate on it with me, you know, my job to listen to everyone's opinions, but then really to harness it and to like make decisions. And not everyone's going to be happy all the time, right? When people are collaborating and there are mistakes and miscommunications. And as the leader, sometimes I messed up too. And so I think the interpersonal communication and collaboration, and the hardships that came with that and the disagreements, you know, it's all part of it. So I don't know if that it's like a thorn necessarily, but I guess like a rose has to come with a thorn. So yeah, it is a thorn. When there's multiple people working on anything, there's like the joy of collaboration, but also the difficulty of like everyone has opinions. Right. Yeah. Yeah, and then the other thing that's hard in any project, I think, is keeping the faith for me, because you could spend a lot of time working on something and then nobody could ever see it, or it could be terrible. And so how do you like still believe in yourself to, you know, block that time out? and like mm-hmm. work towards something and like not give up. And it's really freaking hard. Yeah. And like, I'm mm-hmm. going through it right now, but like, yeah, today I finished, I just want to brag because I'm really proud. Today I finished a first draft of a feature screenplay. And I Whoa. Never, yeah, I mean, it's like, nobody will ever see this draft, like besides me, but it's, I was like, there's scenes and words on a page. So for now, yes. that's all I can do.
Big steps. That's amazing. Thank you. And then the other thing that is so cool, and I saw it this morning, is that the song Riot Girl is in a Marc Jacobs campaign.
It is. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was so random and so cool, so freaking cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like just such a big brand to use not only your song, but a song that sounds like that.
Totally. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Okay. So, like we said, the album is coming out on April 8th. Stream it, buy it, all the things. The release show is on the 14th, and then hopefully we'll get to see this perform on stage again. I mean, I would love to see this. I don't live in New York, but I would mm-hmm. love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So one of the things we do on the show is we have a segment that's giving advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's called Asking for a Friend. Mm-hmm. And ironically, the question that you have today, they're always random, but you've touched on this a couple times. So I wanted to leave enough room to kind of have this conversation. Mm-hmm. The question from somebody was about cultivating confidence. Mm-hmm. And we had touched on that earlier about how, as an artist, did you know you were any good? It's that voice, turning it up. You know, you just finished writing a screenplay and there's all these things going on. So what advice would you give to someone who's looking for ways to cultivate more confidence?
Wow.
It's a big topic.
It's a big topic. But keep putting yourself in situations where you can have a positive feedback loop. So if that means, like, you know, sharing some like art you made with a friend and with some friends, and then them kind of giving you positive feedback, and or like constructive feedback and like growing from it. Or like posting something like on YouTube and having strangers like it. I think for me, like keep putting yourself out there and then keep putting yourself in situations where you can get some like positivity is mm-hmm. like really important. And like really mm-hmm. from there, I know it's an internal thing you have to cultivate, but we don't go through the world like alone, you know, like artists, mm-hmm. like we need an audience. And so, yeah, like, and like if one person responds positively, just hold on to that. Just like make that like the story and the belief mm-hmm. you like hold about yourself.
Is there anything that when you do hit that inevitable lull in confidence, is there any one person or song or activity or food that sort of can comfort you? Because we know that we'll get over it. Like to every lull, there's a valley.
Right.
Is there anything that you turn to like instinctually every time when you kind of are in that place?
I'll talk of two things. I'll turn to kind words that people have said about me and my work in the past. And that I literally have like screenshots in like a folder on my phone. Mm-hmm. Look at it. Mm-hmm. And then I turn to some of my heroes, the work of some of my heroes. So I love like Mitski, right? The artist. Mm-hmm. I love St. Vincent. I love these kind of female like power indie musicians who not only write like bangers, but really tell a story with their songs. So as a storyteller, that really inspired me. So I turn to music a lot. That always kind of like puts me in the mood to like keep creating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It gets tough because it's not a steady stream, life. No, whether not. You're a creative or you're a teacher, like, or whatever your job is or whatever your passion is, it's never, it's not easy every day. And in these conversations, I don't want to focus on the negative aspects of mm-hmm. our pursuits, but I do feel like I learned so much more from someone's stutter steps than I do from their like 3-point shot at the buzzer, because I can't relate to a 3-point shot at a buzzer.
Yeah.
But like a stutter step, I've stuttered and fallen and had to get back up a lot in life. So I always do like to leave a little bit of room for if someone's willing to share mistakes, how they learn from them, because it could seem like, oh, it just happened. This play and these songs just poof, they're just there. Because from us, for our perspective, they did just appear. They didn't, like, we didn't have to make them. And then also the years it takes to find your voice, find your confidence, find your Antigone meshed with Riot Girl and decide like, that's what I'm going to make. That's my thing that I'm going to work on for however many years.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be the next thing you're going to work on.
Right.
So yeah, I just always try to leave that room for that, because it, we always highlight our peaks and look at what I did, which is awesome. Like we should celebrate our wins, but ooh, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we can all learn from if we just admit like, yeah, it wasn't easy. It's hard. It can be hard for you too. That's okay.
You know, the only thing I really regret is not taking myself seriously as a writer sooner. That's the only thing I truly regret. So if anyone's listening and you're not really like writing that much because you don't think you're good enough or it's scary, just do it. Just put words on a page. I really didn't. I'm 30. I really don't think I took myself seriously until I was like 29. And you know, that's past the years I made Ride Antigone. So it's like, it was made in like, with like a lot of insecurity, and a lot of like stops and starts, and like, and yeah, of course there's kind of big and small mistakes, stutter steps I made along the way. But the only thing I really regret is like, just not writing more when I'm like younger. So yeah. And I mean, there's that saying, right? Like the only, what is it? The only, mistakes are like, what is it? Like the only mistakes are the ones you don't try. Like the only failures are like the ones you don't, you know what I'm talking about?
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yes. That's what it, yeah. It's like,
that's sort of the same vibe.
Yeah. So that's like, I think that's just really true. So my stutter steps were like, you know, filling myself with kind of busy work and like projects that I weren't really passionate about because I was too afraid to take that time to like sit down and like write another Ride Antigone. And I'm so happy that this project continues to sort of have a place in the world. And I'm really excited about my other things. But there was sort of like a lull between when I wrote it and sort of now, like, where I was, I felt defeated. Like I felt like I don't have another good idea. So yeah, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Yeah, I would say just do it.
Yeah, Nike. Yeah. There we go. Just do it. It's so interesting. Like fear, as I've gotten older. So I'm 35. I will be 36 this summer, and I absolutely worked and operated from fear for a good 7 or 8 years. I didn't know I was. I had no idea.
Right.
And a lot of – I'm realizing, too, that a lot of reactions that I have to things are based in fear.
Right.
It's such a tough thing to shake. But now that I am aware of it, it's – I don't want to say easier, because it's not easier. It's just – it makes sense in my brain. Like, why is this happening?
Right.
Why am I limiting myself? Why don't I believe I can do this or that? So for me, like with cultivating confidence, it was identifying fear. And then it's not as scary once you're like, oh, that's what I'm afraid of. I can, that's no big deal. And you just keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really weird, man. That's just, oof, being a person.
Hard. Yeah, being a person hard. Being a person is so hard.
It's so hard. Do you have any like mentors that you sort of look to for guidance that kind of coached you or helped you or lended a hand along the way?
Yeah, totally. Some like older theater folks, but to be honest, my peers are always my best mentors. They really are. Like friends going through the same thing, like friends who are on similar or slightly ahead or slightly behind, but ahead and but they're not good ways to put it. They're different parts of their journey. Yeah, I really think peers have been my greatest mentors.
Yeah. Well, this has been lovely. Sanjay, you are so inspiring because you were willing to be a little bit vulnerable with me today. So thank you for sharing all of that. And congrats on writing that draft of that screenplay. That is incredible.
Thank you so much.
I want to give you a chance to let everybody know where to follow, click, subscribe, purchase, whatever people need to know to keep up with every single thing you have going on.
Yeah. So Ryan and Piggy is on Instagram. So it's Instagram/RyanAntigone. And then, there's a link tree in the bio, that has like, you can stream the singles that we have, out now. There's three. You can watch each song will have a lyric video. So you can watch those. You can buy tickets to our album release concert. RyanAntigone is also, the script is also published in an anthology by Routledge. So you can purchase the book. If you'd like. Yeah. And then I also have a personal Instagram if you want to kind of keep up with me. My handle is Sun in the Sky, letter J, which is like how to pronounce my name.
Sanjay. Sanjay. Oh, gosh. Well, I hope you have a great day and that these creative juices just keep flowing. And I might point to this conversation the next time that you feel kind of blah. Listen to yourself. Pump yourself back up because you have a lot of good ones in here. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations on everything and for everything that's yet to come.
Great. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.